Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
God, we thank you so much for this opportunity that we have here tonight to study your word. Your word tells us that we are to rightly divide your word of truth, that we would be ready for an answer when we are given the opportunity. So God, I pray that in this study here tonight, you would speak to us in a way that only you can, and that we would be equipped and ready for every good work, and that you would fill us, Holy Spirit, with your power, that you would convict us, and that you would also convince us of opportunities set before us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's crazy to think that the world we live in today, full of different avenues of communication, especially with social media outlets. It's interesting to think, you know, for myself as the junior high pastor, I am around kids who are born somewhere around 2002, 2003, and that's kind of weird to think about at times, given how young these kids are, but also the connectivity that they have when it comes to social media, because for myself, I can now say back in my day, because there was no internet or LTE or like these push notification things or anything. All there was dial-up. And if you had that, you had to wait for the phone to be clear, make sure that mom wasn't paying bills or something like that. It was like always something when I heard someone say back in my day, it was like, oh, okay, they're talking about like a technology that never existed. And for myself, I get to add myself to that because these forms of communication we have are so different. They're so broad. There's so many different avenues, like Facebook, whether you're the grandparent or the grandchild, trying to stay connected. You know, grandma always commenting on your photos, right? They're always just like, oh, so precious. Oh, my goodness. Especially with a little 18-month-old daughter. It's very easy for grandma and great-grandma and other family and relatives to stay connected to one another, whether they're close or out of state. On Twitter, you have an opportunity to read some really good articles. A lot of pastors post a lot of great things for us to be able to read. You have Snapchat, which is a whole different monster in and of itself. But one form of communication that has never had an update or needed some sort of software change to it itself is the connectivity we have from the Word of God. The Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we know and we understand what the Bible says, that the Word of God is breathed out, we can truly trust that God's way of communicating to us is accurate and fully 100% truth. The Bible says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. And we know that the Word also became flesh and dwelt among us, that he lived a life like we did, but what? Yet without sin. See, the way that God communicates to us is a way for us to reveal the opportunities we have before us in the basic ways to communicate, not just to God, not to communicate just back to God, but to also communicate to those that are in our sphere of influence. Throughout centuries, Jesus has been deemed the good teacher, a man worth following, someone with good moral ideas. But we know, as we see here on the back of the screen, that right doctrine equals right living. And what we have is not just Jesus as some good teacher, but Jesus as Lord and Savior. We just celebrated that a few days ago with Resurrection Sunday, thanking the Lord for him truly being a good, good Father. And so tonight I want to share a message with you that I've titled, Insiders Among Outsiders. Insiders Among Outsiders. As we'll see in a few moments, there is a radical call to action from the Apostle Paul to the believers of Colossae. Paul, inside a prison cell, is communicating further instruction to those outside of the prison walls. We know from the last chapter in Colossians chapter 3 that he encouraged them and also us today to put to death, therefore, what is earthly in us. Sexual morality, impurity, passions, evil desires, and covetousness. And that we are to now put on Christ, to put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. This exhortation that we have here in Colossians chapter 4 tonight isn't an afterthought. Paul isn't adding a PS at the end of his letter like he forgot something. He's saying, let's go back to the basics. You look at how Paul started this letter in Colossians chapter 1 when he was saying, be thankful in your prayers. Pray to God. Be thankful for what he has done, that he had died once and for all. And also, he is ending his letter just as how he started it. Let's read it together. Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 2. It says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom. Circle that in your Bibles if you have one tonight. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of your time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. We're going to stop there for tonight. We see here that Paul is telling the people in Colossae that there are a few forms of communication that will ultimately lead to a life full of wisdom, which a life full of wisdom will lead to opportunity to be a light to the world. If our goal, according to Colossians 4, is to finally and fully walk in wisdom, we have two ways of accomplishing that very thing. Write it down if you're taking notes. Our first point this evening is intense intercession. Intense intercession, more commonly known to us as prayer. It's one of the essential and core elements of the Christian's life. In prayer, it is personal. In prayer, it is powerful, and in prayer, it is petition. It is personal, that it is between us and God. It is between the child of God and his Father. It is petition that we are asking, that we are requesting on behalf of God, knowing where the power lies, not in who is asking, but who is being asked of. And that also prayer is powerful in and of itself. Here in Colossians 4, he says, continue steadfastly in prayer. He says to be watchful in it and to have thanksgiving through it. To be steadfast in prayer means that you are to continue to do so with intense effort, with the implication that it's difficult. See, when we pray, it is difficult at times to keep a consistent and persistent prayer life. Because whether or not we like to believe it, there are times when we try to wake up a little extra early in the morning before we get ready for work or school, and we have the good idea, the right intentions, but how many times do we hit our snooze button? It's like, no, just go away. Like, I'm not ready for this. How many times do you go to bed at night and you're like thanking the Lord for your day, but that's about as far as you get because you're like, Lord Jesus, thank you. And you're gone. Just, he's out. There he goes. Good night. See you later. We have the right intentions of having a disciplined prayer life, but there are ways that we can, as encouraging one another, to see how we can be steadfast in prayer. It's with that intense effort because of the implication that understanding it's difficult, but something that's difficult always requires a little extra work, but that little extra work is always worth it in the end. To other churches that Paul wrote letters to, he was always encouraging them in prayer. To the church in Ephesus and Ephesians, he says, be on watch. Your adversary is here. You know, we are to put on the full armor of God. He says in 1 Thessalonians that we are to continually pray all the time. To be alert and to persevere through it is how we as believers are to make supplication, not just for ourselves, but for other people as well. We are to pray continually, and Paul's desire is that the believer would take notice to the power of prayer. So often, I think that we can agree within ourselves that prayer is undervalued and overlooked. Undervalued in the sense that we don't maybe sometimes actually believe it has the power that the Bible says it does, but overlooked because so often, how do we use prayer in our own lives? Listen, prayer must be our first resource, not our last lifeline. Prayer must be our first resource, not our last lifeline. Prayer is, simply put, our way of communicating to God, and God communicates to us through his word. Prayer is the link that connects us to God when it comes to prayer. And even as Martin Luther has said, quote, "To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be a human without breathing." We know how essential breathing is to us, right? Or am I the only one? Or do we understand the importance of breathing? It's important, isn't it? Why? Because you'd die if you didn't have it, right? So he is also saying about prayer that the Christian, if he is without prayer, is he even a believer at all? Prayer is the strength of the believer's fellowship with God. We have that unity with God, that union where we get to go boldly before the throne room of God, as he says, to receive mercy and help in time of need. And he is also the source of power in our prayers against Satan. All the more reason to be intense about it. Now, this intensity that Paul is talking about in this steadfastness or this continual process is more of a persistent intensity. It's not that you're having a shouting match with God in your intense prayers, that you're shouting to him, but it's that the intensity comes from the fact that you are to be persistent in what you're doing to make it a discipline or a habit of prayer. If you've ever been to the gym, if you have a gym membership, I have a gym membership. I didn't say I use my gym membership, but I have one. But I remember the first time going to the gym on my own will, which is very difficult to do. Can I get an amen? Okay, cool. Just making sure. If you remember your first time in the gym, you start off and you're kind of timid about how to start this thing out. How do I lift weights? How much can I lift? How far can I run? What can I do? But as you commit yourself to it day after day, week after week, you see results. So is it too also in our prayer that we would see the results as we discipline ourselves every single day to run a little bit further, so to speak, to lift a little bit more, so to speak. And you will see the results from your prayer life, which will give you an opportunity to grow. You work out harder, you lift heavier weights, and you run faster. But something is intense a lot of times because we aren't used to it. Intensity comes from overcoming something difficult. And that's why you move on to a harder workout, because you're not working up as much of a sweat before, because you're disciplining yourself to working and to having a more disciplined lifestyle when it comes to your prayers. Just as you would become acclimated to that workout, we should also become acclimated to our prayers to God. We should never be satisfied with where our prayer life is at. Always aspire to a greater sense of communication to your Lord, which is why we are to be watchful in our prayer. He says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it. To be watchful in our prayers is to simply stay awake, to be continually ready and alert. Now, this could very well apply to the practical approach of staying awake. Jesus himself took a few of the disciples with him into the garden to pray, and he said, stay awake, watch and pray, unless you fall into temptation. How many times have we fallen into temptation when we were supposed to be praying? To be watchful in prayer is to always have this mindset that there are needs all around us. It's having a habit of prayer that demands a mental alertness to the dangers of life, but also to the needs of those around you. An awareness that at any moment can launch us into fervent prayer to God. Now, I'm not saying that we walk up and down the streets shouting out these prayers, Lord, be with that person walking by me. He's probably a sinner. He needs Jesus. I mean, practically, that's not the greatest approach to our prayer life, but it's having that alert mindset. Lord, be with that guy. Something may be going on in his life, at your workplace, at your sphere of influence. Whatever the case may be, there is always someone around us in need. Let me challenge you with this tonight. We as men, it's not very easy to walk up to someone like, hey, how can I pray for you? For ladies, it just, for some reason, comes natural. For us guys, it's like, I don't need no prayer. Like, what are you talking about? Let me challenge you with this tonight. Go up to someone tomorrow morning, or even tonight if you have an opportunity outside of the church, and walk up to them and ask them how you can pray for them and see what their response is. Because what we are to be as believers are those on the inside wanting to make outsiders a part of what we have on the inside. It's being watchful of the Lord's also imminent return as we are alert of the things happening around us. We are to be watchful, and that is to keep us from being caught off guard or unready. If you wait for the signs, it's probably too late. You know, here in Southern California, we have what's called an earthquake. Have you ever felt one before? Earthquakes are pretty prominent around here, whether it's a 2.9 a little bit further from home or a 4.5 over here. But a lot of times, what is our response to it? We're sitting down watching TV, feel a little shake, like, hey, that one moved the walls. Like, whoa, that was a big one for sure. If you're already seeing the signs and you're not ready for it, it's too late. That's why you have that earthquake ready pack. You've got water and food and batteries, supplies, all kinds of things just in case that were to happen. What if we were too late when the signs of Christ coming again? It's too late. The Bible says that it comes in the twinkling, in the blinking of an eye. We are to be people who are with a mindset of being ready and alert in the Lord's return. It's having a devotion that causes us to be vigilant because of our thankfulness to God. It's a mindset that helps us remember God's goodness. Because when you are reminded of God's goodness in your life, you can't help but be thankful, can you? You think of what Christ was able to accomplish on your behalf, what Christ was able to do for us. He did something that no one else could ever do. Even if they tried, they wouldn't even get close. Because God sent his son Jesus, fully God, fully man, to be perfect and to live a life like we did, yet without sin. But also that he would become sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of Christ. When you think of what Christ has done on your behalf, from whatever walk of life you've been from, you know that you cannot help but be thankful to God for what he has done. It will cause our heart to overflow, and it will allow us to be alert, causing us to go to God in communication with an attitude of thanksgiving, because we're thankful for his presence, that even though we have difficulties and trials and situations, that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God is with us. So we are thankful for his presence. We are also thankful for his pardon, that he substituted himself in our place to save us. And with his right arm, he sustains us. And we're also thankful for his promise, that he would never leave us or forsake us, but also that he would come back for us, his children. This intense intercession, this constant communication with God, will ultimately lead to opportunities to communicate clearly to the world around you. It's like what 2 Corinthians 5:14 says. It says, "For the love of Christ controls us," or it compels us. It is the love of Christ that compels us to good works. It's the love of Christ that compels us to want to have opportunity to tell others about Christ. Which brings us to our second point tonight, a divine door. A divine door. That intense intercession, that constant devoted prayer life will lead to divine opportunities. Remember, Paul is in prison, but what a lot of scholars and commentators say is that he's not locked up behind a jail cell. He's rather under house arrest. So you kind of get the personal touch to this letter just a little bit, knowing that he had written other letters to other churches, but it also gives you the idea of seeing Paul literally bound in chains and with a guard standing next to him. It is to remind them, the people on the outside of this house arrest, that prayer makes all the difference in communicating the gospel. Having a constant prayer life leads to doors to be opened where the gospel can be proclaimed. It's been said before that prayer in private makes for power in public. I think that we can testify to that very truth, given as a church, we saw what happened just about a month ago or 3 weeks ago in Dallas, Texas. There was a big marketing campaign. There was a lot of a social media push. Pastor Greg was able to do a lot of radio events and things like that. But if it weren't for the prayers of the people, if it weren't for the prayers from the church, we wonder if we would have been able to actually do what we did. And I know that you guys were praying. We were praying together all the time at 3:20. We were ready and alert with that mindset of knowing the things that are going on around us. Not just the political campaigns that are happening, but also the spiritual awakening that is needed here in America, even here in our own city. Maybe you haven't had an opportunity, but maybe that's because you haven't asked God to open that door. Listen, be always alert in your prayers, but always be confident in your prayers. The Bible says that we can go boldly before the throne room of God. We get to go boldly before Him. You know, in ancient times, if you went before a king without permission, you had your head chopped off. Could you imagine going to God without permission and that being the rule that was in place? I would have had my head chopped off a long time ago, and I'm sure that you guys would have too. But God says that we can come boldly before Him, that His ear is bent from heaven down to earth to hear what our prayers are. He allows us with confidence to know that we will be heard. Each and every one of us, we come from different backgrounds. We have different jobs. If we all had the same background, if we all had the same jobs, we wouldn't have as much of an opportunity to reach as many people as we can. Think of the different jobs, the different education, the different family members and neighbors that we have. You live where you live because God wants to use you where you are. You work where you work because God wants to use you where you are. You go to school where you go to school because God wants to use you where you are. This very moment, you live for the opportunity for God to open that door because He's the one who prepares the way for the message of the gospel. So never doubt that God never gives you an opportunity, because He always provides to us the open opportunity, and He can soften the heart of our listeners. But let us also, what we do for Christ, be done not just in word or deed, but in word and deed. Let our light shine through our actions, but also let our light shine through our words. You know, it's been said before that words are like seeds. They have creative power, but they also have destructive power. Isaiah 3:10 says, "Tell the righteous that it will go well for them, for they will eat the fruit of their labor." So my question for you tonight is, what seeds are you planting? What words have you been able to tell others about? What encouraging and comforting words do you have? Because you have the gospel. You have the Holy Spirit within you doing the work to convict you and to also convince you and to give you confidence as you go forward in your opportunities to proclaim the gospel. So often we think that proclaiming the gospel is by someone who can preach really well, but that's not the case. There are people who are gifted evangelists, as we have in our own pastor and Pastor Greg, but there are also many of you here today who have opportunities that no one else has. You have an opportunity that no one else in this room can partake of because God has placed you where He wants you, and He is allowing you the opportunity to plant the seed in the lives of those around you. Paul had a passion for the gospel, that anyone who knew the truth and anyone who was willing to open their mouth and speak truth would be able to rely on God for strength, would be able to speak to those around them. I think it's safe to say that even though Paul was in prison, he was more bound to his commission than he was his chains. He was more bound to the commission that God had called him from Saul, persecutor of the church, to now being Paul, the preacher for the church. He says, even though I'm in chains, listen, you can pray that I have an opportunity here in prison, which we know he did have. Many people in the prison area were saved. We know that Paul had many opportunities in jail to preach the word. I'm sure Paul would have been appreciative of the prayers of the people asking for Paul to be released. But he's saying, listen, even if I'm here in prison, you have an opportunity out there, and my chains speak for themselves. Which brings us to our third and final point tonight, more of an applicable point for us, that we are to walk wisely. We are to walk wisely. Having an intense prayer life, a persistent and constant prayer life, and also the divine door of opportunity that God opens to us are ways to help us walk wisely around those on the outside looking in. You know, a lot of times as someone on the inside, they like to brag or boast about what they have on the inside. whether it's someone with a Disneyland pass or a members only jacket or some sort of like VIP access. It's like, oh, look what I've got. It's like, cool, like that's awesome. You know, a lot of times we try to boast or brag about the things that we have that others don't. But our goal, our job, what we should desire is as insiders, not to brag or boast about what we have, because what you have is not your own. What we have has not just been given to us because we deserved it. It was given to us as a gift. And so what we have, we cannot take the credit for ourselves. We have to obviously point that back to Christ himself. So as an insider, for every single one of us, if you're a Christian here tonight, you are you're an insider among outsiders. But our job as insiders is to let the outsiders know that there is a spot for them inside. Every single one of us has the opportunity to give the outsiders an opportunity to be a part of this family. As believers, we have the inside scoop, the backstage pass. We get to see behind the scenes. And as Christians, we are to carefully exhibit a planned and consistent prayer life, because people are watching, whether you know it or not. You know, as a pastor's kid growing up, people know your name and they're like, hey, what's up, Brad Jr.? It's like, hey, guy. You know, I have no idea who this person is. But because of the fact that people are always watching, I mean, I went to Maui on my honeymoon 3 years ago, and I actually ran into someone I knew in Maui, of all places. Like, how does that even happen? How do you do that? You go across the world, and people are right there in front of you. It's just a testament to know that people are always watching. Even when you think they aren't, chances are they are. Let us not be Christians who just acknowledge Christ with our lips, yet deny him by our lifestyle. Let everything that we do match up with who we are at church, who we are at work, who we are at home, who we are as a husband, who we are as a father. Everything that we do, let it all match up, and let it all be for the glory of God alone. Amen. Let us not just talk about Christ, but let us also act like Christ. Paul, talking to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11, he gave this word to them. He said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Could you walk up to a coworker? Could you walk up to a professor? Could you walk up to your wife or your kids? Could you walk up to a friend or a neighbor and tell them, hey, why don't you imitate me as I imitate Christ? That's a huge deal. That's a big, high calling. But you know what? We have the opportunity to do that because the Bible says that the same power that rose Christ from the dead, Romans 8, is the same power that lives within us. We have the opportunity to live like Christ to those around us. And it's not just by words or actions. This is not an either or, it's a both and. Your words should match up with your actions, and your actions must match up with your words. We should not be a church that tries to move with the world, but we should be a church who tries to move the world. Because we are to walk in wisdom towards outsiders, it is done by making the most of our time. The time that we had spent watching a YouTube video, you know, one YouTube video always leads to another. Have you ever noticed that? Or one thing online leads to another. It always does. Seriously. You're like 15 minutes in, it's like, I was just looking up one thing, and how did I get to this? And usually it's someone failing at something, or a Scott Sterling video, if you know what I'm talking about. I mean, there are so many things that we get distracted by that we can never take that time back. That is why we are to redeem the time. That's what Paul is saying here when he says to walk in wisdom towards outsiders. We can do that by making the use of our time as best as we can, which means to redeem the time that we never had before, but to make the most of every opportunity ahead of us. I think it's safe to say that there are more non-Christians than there are Christians in our environment. We may feel like our backs are up against the walls, but don't let us be troubled by that. What we are to do, what you can do, is blend the wisdom you have from the Lord, from the Word of God, as you are devoted to prayer and to reading and studying the Word, the blending the wisdom from the Lord, and also to blend it with the reckless urgency of knowing that you have every opportunity before you to preach the gospel to those that are in need. How many of us know someone who does not know Christ? Raise your hand. That's a lot of hands. And could you imagine if every single one of us went up to that person after this message and told them, hey, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Watch my prayer life. Watch what I do. Watch how I can make the best use of my time. It really means for Paul to say to make the best use of our time, to buy up all the time you have available. Because going back to having that mindset of being alert of Christ's return, we don't have a specific time or day. The Bible says that nobody knows the day or the hour except for Christ himself. And so what we do with the impending return of Christ, we are to have wisdom that we would know our days are few. The Bible says in Psalm 90 that we would be taught to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The Bible says that our life is like a vapor, like a mist, here one moment and gone the next. We don't know what that day will be. That's why we are to always live this day as if it were our last. And wisdom can be revealed through our lifestyle and our speech, which are to be expressions of God's love reaching out to save the world. Listen, the more we desire to communicate to God, the more of a desire we will have to communicate to the world. Communicate the word of God with grace and salt. Grace, that our words would have a stark contrast to those in the previous chapter, those who are full of anger and malice, slander. But rather, instead of that, let us implement love, mercy, and compassion. Let our words be seasoned with salt. I mean, when you think of something like that, it's like, that's a weird statement. Like, what does that even mean? What does salt do? It gives something flavor, whether it's your tacos, right? Taco Tuesday, what's up? After service, take your small group, go get some tacos. It's that words that we use would be amusing, creative, witty, and even interesting. So the question I think that we have to ask ourselves tonight is what Christ has done for me on the cross interesting enough to tell someone else about it? We are so caught up in spring training that's coming up, right? Little Dodger baseball, little Angel baseball. I'm not going to get into that. That's for a whole different sermon, okay? You decide where you're at on that line. But there are so many things that we will talk to others about, whether it's something at work or something else going on. We have so many things that we want to communicate, and the things that we do communicate are the things that we are probably spending the most time doing. When we have the opportunity to tell someone about Christ, let it be interesting, let it be exciting. Why? Because it is interesting, it is exciting. I mean, you walk up to someone like, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus, this guy, died on a cross, you know, it's pretty interesting, you know, like, wow. I mean, how well are you communicating the joy of the Lord in your life when we do something like that? It's like, hey, let me tell you about Christ. Let me tell you about what he's done. Colossians, even in the beginning of this letter, he says that God has transplanted us out of the domain of darkness and transferred us into the light, the kingdom of the Son. How amazing, how interesting, how peculiar that is, that God would be willing to do that for someone like me. Let your words be seasoned with salt, that what Christ has accomplished on your behalf be interesting and exciting. But also let it be with knowing who your audience is. A lot of times it's very easy for us to speak over our audience at times. We make a meal for them, but we put it on the top shelf so that they can't reach it. Keep the meal where it needs to be, right in front of the people. Because our job is not to win the argument and to use big lofty words. Our job is to win the soul. Billy Sunday said, quote, if you have no joy, there is probably a leak in your Christianity. How true is that? Like, oh, gut-wrenching a little bit right there. It's like, do I have joy in my walk with the Lord? Psalm 16:11, the psalmist is saying, in your presence, God, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. See, at the end of this letter that we have here in Colossians, Paul is challenging the Christians to understand the priorities in their life. Jesus Christ was and still is the Word. And as such, he is the ultimate communicator to us and for us. And our best response is to allow our hearts to overflow, not only in communication to him, but in communication to others. We must communicate to God as he prepares us to communicate to the world with the gospel that we have, in grace, in clarity, and in excitement. As you communicate up to God, God will communicate within. The Bible says, how do I keep my ways pure? By guarding it according to your word. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I would not sin against you. And as we communicate up to God, He communicates to us within, which gives us the opportunity to communicate out to the world around us. Let us have words and a lifestyle that express our love and joy to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love towards us, that even while we were yet sinners, Jesus, you died on a cross for us. We thank you so much at the fact that you went the full distance for us. Your word even says that you went with joy to the cross, not because of the pain that it was going to bring, but the results of what the cross meant, what the resurrection did for us. Lord, we thank you. Would you give us joy? Would you give us boldness and confidence to preach and to communicate your word clearly? That we would be steadfast in our prayers, that we would be thankful for all that you've done, and to know that the doors you open are the ones that you open, and you give us the words to speak. So Lord, use us and strengthen us, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.